Welcome to our podcast. My name is Dr. Thitai Juliet. I'm an orthopedic surgeon in Kenya, and today we'll be discussing on external fixators. External fixators have been used for over 2,000 years to immobilize fractures while preserving soft tissue integrity. The first use of a true external fixator device, it dates back to around 377 BC during the Hippocrates' time, and it was used to treat closed tibia fractures. This original external fixator was made up of leather rings that were connected by four wooden rods from a conal tree that covered the whole limb. Now they've changed with emphasis on biomechanical stability, and there's also been improvement in surgical techniques, the material used, and the introduction of the hex support style kind of fixators. There have been also a lot of innovative configurations and pin modifications. All this has been done to maximize the construct stability. We use external fixators for treatment of open fractures, infected and stable fractures, pseudoarthrosis, and corrective osteotomies, amongst others. External fixators are usually used for a limited period before the definitive fixation of the skeletal injury is done. They're not designed to withstand physiological load for a long time. The principal goals are to achieve bone stability, even in cases such as vascular intervention, also used to enable wound debridement with a stable fracture fixation, and also used as part of damage control orthopedics in polytrauma patients. The idea is to achieve bone stability without disruption of the resuscitation process, especially in DCO. External fixators can be subcategorized into uniplanar, biplanar, multiplanar, unilateral, bilateral, circular fixators, and hybrid fixators such as the Taylor special frame. The common complications associated with external fixators, this include pin site infection, pin loosening, and other less common such as neurovascular injury, mechanical failure, septic joint, pin tract, osteomyelitis, and sometimes pin overpenetration. Let's now discuss the principles when applying an external fixator. First thing is, avoid placing pins inside zone of injury. That's where the fracture is or where the wounds are. Use the technique of near, far, far while placing the pins. The pins that are at the center should be as near as the fracture site as possible, about 2 centimeters from the fracture site, and the most peripheral should be as far as possible. To avoid bone necrosis, use a pilot drill hole, and when drilling, use saline irrigation to help with cooling. When drilling, it's best to use the pulse start stop technique, which is also referred to as a metronomic drilling. Use the safe corridors by understanding anatomy to avoid any neurovascular injury. And for the circular frames, they require use of safe corridor on both sides of the bone. Then convert to ORIF, ideally within 2 weeks, to reduce risk of infection. Otherwise, the longer the external fixator is left means that one has to observe a window period before being able to convert to definitive management. There are some factors that increase rigidity of the construct, and the most important factor is having anatomical reduction. Second most important factor is the diameter of the pins. Be aware that if the pin size is more than a third of the bone diameter, it can cause a fracture. Other important factors for rigidity include decreasing the bone to rod distance to reduce neocortex stress. However, you must allow at least 2 inches for dressing change. The fourth factor is reducing the working length of the pins. Fifth factor, placement of central pins closer to the fracture, that is near, but outside the zone of injury. Then placement of the peripheral pins far from the fracture, that is now far. Then other important factors are addition of pins and bars in the same or another plane, using hydroxyapatite coating of pins or placing pins in multiple planes. For the circular frames, in order to increase rigidity of the ring and wire fixator, there are some things that one can do. This include increased diameter of the wire size. For example, in adults, size 1.8 is appropriate, and for children, 1.5. When tensioning, increase the tension of the wires. So for the adults, about 130 newtons, and for the children, about 110 newtons. Other things that one should do is decrease the diameter of the ring. Also, increase the crossing angle. Ideally, 90 degrees is good crossing angle for the circular frame. Then place the wire above the ring and another one below to prevent any ring deformation. Increasing the number of wires and rings will also increase the rigidity. Using opposing olive wires is very, very good because they tend to prevent slippage of the wires. And finally, using slotted bolts if they are available. All these factors are very important because they improve the integral structure of the external fixator and help to increase the biomechanical properties and stability. Thank you very much for listening.